You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, you guys, episode 37. We're going back to the Nintendo 64. My buddy Mark McHugh is in the house and we are talking one of the most overlooked, I guess, for lack of a better term, games not only on the Nintendo 64, but maybe in Nintendo's history. And that's the original Paper Mario. For anyone, it's not an official sequel, I don't believe, but it's as close as we've gotten to a sequel to Super Mario RPG from the Super Nintendo, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And Paper Mario is fucking incredible, man. It's got all the polish and all the love put into it of Super Mario RPG, but it's just a completely different game. I can't imagine if you're listening to this that you don't know what I'm talking about, but just the art style of it, the creativity that goes into the battle, the combat, the clever writing that has become an absolute staple of like the Mario and Luigi series on the portable systems, found its way into Paper Mario. This game is, and this game paved the way for Thousand Year Door, which is one of my favorite games of all time. But so is Paper Mario. This game is fucking great. I haven't played this in a long time. I had a really good time reviewing it with Mark because it just brought back a lot of great memories. It's just a really clever, witty game. If Nintendo ever gets around to making a Nintendo 64 classic, this is the primary reason that I want to see it done. you know, is this game and Mario Kart 64. And the wrestling games that I know aren't going to get put on it, but hopefully you can hack it. This game is rad, and it's not available on anything anymore. I mean, it was on the Wii Virtual Console. I'm not sure if it was on the Wii U Virtual Console or not. Probably not, because the Wii U one wasn't that good. And now, as we all know, and as I rant about later in this episode, fucking Nintendo is just sitting on a back catalog of incredible games and not giving us access to them. And it pisses me off because I want to play Paper Mario again. And if you haven't played it, find a way, because it's really, really good, you guys. This is absolutely one of the best titles on the Nintendo 64. Okay, quickly, I'll get my plugs and stuff out of the way, and then I'll just shut up and get to chatting with Mark. As you guys may or may not know, we have a website now. It's rememberthegamepodcast.com. All of our upcoming episodes, all of our episodes go there. Some blogs and stuff go there. Check it out. There's an email list and stuff, I guess, if you want to see that stuff too. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at memberthegame. Just like Remember the Game, but without the RE at the front. We follow everybody that follows us back. I love interacting on there. I post, you know, all our episodes and hints and just talk about gaming and stuff on there. So throw us follows on the old social media device. And it's really all I have to plug. Sorry, this is going to be a pretty quick intro. I've got a really, really busy day ahead of me, so I'm trying to get this thing done fast. As far as what I've been playing this week, hasn't been very much. Tetris 99 on the Switch. Nintendo ran kind of like a tournament for it over the weekend, where they were giving away $10 eShop gift cards to the top players of Tetris 99. So I played a ton of that just because I fucking love Tetris. And I've been dipping into Kirby's Adventures a little bit more on the NES, but I'm kind of looking for something new to play right now. I'm waiting for Yoshi's Crafted World at the end of March. As you probably, if you've never listened to this, you don't know this. I'm a one console guy now. All I have is a Switch and then my portal or my, you know, my classic consoles and some of the old retro ones. I've been flip-flopping on picking up a PlayStation Classic, even though I know it sucks, just to kind of hack it and play with it. So, I don't know. I'm looking for advice, opinions. If you listen to this, if there's a classic console I should be playing or something on the Switch that I haven't played yet that I should be playing, please message me and tell me. I need something new to play. I feel lonely and weird not having a new... You know how I feel when you finish a game and you have nothing to play and you're just kind of sitting there trying to wonder what you're going to do with your... You know, what to do with your life. Now, that's kind of how I feel right now with video games and life as a whole. All right, that's enough. I'll shut up. This is maybe the fastest intro I've ever done, but like I said, I just, I'm doing this on Tuesday, and then I'm gonna get this thing converting into files and get the fuck out of here because I got to go and do a bunch of stuff. Yes, I'll shut up. I'll get to the chat this time, this week, my episode. I'll shut up and get to the chat on this week's episode with my buddy Mark. Cue the music. Mark is one of the best guests I have on this show. I love talking games with him. You guys are going to love it too. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the trip down memory lane as we talk Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64. Check it out, guys. Here we go. First of all, return to the podcast, fellow comedian, fellow geek, my pal Mark McHugh. How's it going, buddy?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited for this episode. And I know I say that almost every episode, but I really am.
It's one of my favorite games.
Yeah, me too. Now, just for the record, and maybe I'll have mentioned this in the intro, when was the last time you played Paper Mario?
About a year and a half ago. Okay. I usually play it every year. I'm a little overdue this year.
Okay, then I'm counting on you because I have not played this game in, God, it's got to be 15 years.
Oh, really?
And so it's like, yeah, I did some homework. I look back. I was like, all right, we're good. If any of you nerds listen to this, like, I can't believe they forgot to mention blah, 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 which I don't think will happen because Mark's got my back because Mark plays it every year. Shut up. That's not what this podcast is about. You know that by now. This is all about memories. Dude, this game, I'm trying to think of the word I want. I don't think necessarily this game is underrated. I do think it's overlooked. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. When you talk about the great Mario games, everyone thinks of Mario.
Like, I know that you in the past have always said you're not a fan of Mario 64.
Oh, no, I'm not.
But to me, this is the great Mario game on the N64.
Oh, totally, dude. And this came out near the end of the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's did you own it growing up then?
I did, yeah.
Okay, because like I didn't get it till it came out on the Wii Virtual Console. That was the first time I played it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never... Because by the time it came out for the 64, I had moved on to my PlayStation.
Oh, that's fair, yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Dude, this game is like... This game is an absolute masterpiece. Like, I don't even know where to start. I like doing my homework for this. I love this game so much.
I was talking about it with somebody a few days ago, and the thing that I appreciate so much about this game is in every other Mario game that's ever been made, it's like a bunch of like cool platform challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go through the Mushroom Kingdom and you jump on some Goombas. This is the first game, I think, where the Mushroom Kingdom feels like a place where people live.
Yeah, totally. It does. You're right. Yeah. That's one of the things I had put down. Like, the main hub, like, what's it called? Toad Town?
Yeah.
Really does feel like a town, like, where you could see, like, oh, yeah, toads live here and stuff like that, you know?
And then there's the path to the castle. Like, even in Mario 64, like, you show up at the castle and it's just kind of, like, there without any context.
Yeah, it's just in the middle of, like, a field of hills. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, this does feel like a real real universe, you know. And I don't know where to start with this.
More than any other Mario game, this one, like, the plot of this game is the same as every other Mario game.
Yep.
Bowser kidnaps the princess, but the way they tell this story is, to like, for my money, it's the definitive version of this story.
Sure.
They've never done this story better. Even like Thousand Year Door came a few years later,
yeah,
and it told a very different story, and it told that story very well. But mm-hmm. This is the best version of the Bowser kidnaps Peach.
Yeah, yeah.
Hijinks ensue.
I agree with
story.
That. Because this game, like, so this is, I mean, it's, I don't believe it is technically a sequel to Super Mario RPG. But
when it started development, it was.
Right. And in a way it is, because it's the next Mario RPG after mm-hmm. Super Mario RPG. And like, a Super Mario RPG, which if you haven't listened to, go back in the archives, check it out. I don't remember what episode it is. Doesn't matter. Is possibly my favorite RPG of all time, except maybe Earthbound. Like, I adore.
It's a solid game.
Right. And this, like, to me, playing it, I was like, this is Super Mario RPG, just different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. you got to go after 7 stars. Like, the writing in it is immaculate. And that's one of the things that the Paper Mario games, because I would argue that Paper Mario, once it got to the Wii one, Super Paper Mario, mm-hmm. I think it was called, kind of lost its way a little bit. Like, they weren't quite as, I didn't find them as entertaining.
I liked the Super Paper Mario for what it did, but it was a very different game.
It was. This game and then Thousand Year Door,
those
are masterpieces, and the writing in them is beyond
top shelf. Then they went with like Paper Mario Sticker Star, and they kept kind of watering down the series after that.
Right. Like, if you played any of the Mario and Luigi games,
mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about those as I do about this as far as the writing goes. Like, they're clever, they're funny, they're entertaining. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you can only play Final Fantasy so many times where there's like, yeah, it's dragons and airships and blah, 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 blah. This is so childish, but so hilarious at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like almost like playing a cartoon.
Well, yeah, no, it's, and there's so many like interesting characters. Like, you'll come across Colorado, who's like a dude who's exploring, who's always getting himself into trouble, and you yeah. have to go save him.
Yeah, or the, wow, were they called the Koopa Bros?
The Koopa Bro, yeah.
I love them so much.
They were like the second boss or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to like, yeah.
And, oh, what the fuck is his name? The little guy in the egg?
Eggbert.
Yeah, the little guy that keeps popping up, like the little, he's like a little Koopa Troopa, isn't he?
I think his name's Eggbert.
And he's just like and he just keeps getting himself in these situations, and then he gets a new power and tries to like, and by the end of the game he's got like 10 powers, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a generic RPG. Like, it's really fun to just like, you actually want to read everything everybody has to. Like, I'm bad for, in a lot of RPGs, just like tap, mm-hmm. like get through the dialogue. I just want to play the game. This one, like, I want to talk to everybody. I want to see what everybody has to say. It's so engrossing.
Everybody has something, because all of the characters have something interesting to say.
Yeah.
Like, they maybe have like a little bit of story for you, or they have like a hint on a side quest, or
yeah.
like you go and you talk to like somebody in the kitchen and they're looking for specific ingredients to make a cake or something.
That's right. Yeah. Like, it's not boring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing about this game is boring. Like, so my favorite thing about this, and like, I know Thousand Year Door better than I know this game, 'cause I've played it mm-hmm. more times, but I love them both. My favorite thing about these games is the combat.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it's the same thing. It like, so many RPGs you play and you just like,
Turn-based combat, you know.
It's unless it's a fight or a hard battle, it's just tap, 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 tap. Mm-hmm. Like, you can almost do it on autopilot. Like, I can read on my phone while I'm fighting somebody.
Yeah.
Like, just tapping A, you know what I mean? And these games, like, Super Mario RPG kind of started it with, like, the timed hits mm-hmm. and things like that. But this game really took it to another level with the combat and how, like, every attack had, like, some little thing you had to do. It wasn't just tap the A button twice, right?
It was like tap it in time, and you can block, or you can get an extra hit.
Yeah,
or...
yeah. And you have all the sidekicks, and they all have all these funky little attacks and stuff like that,
too. Who was your favorite sidekick?
Probably the fish.
The fish?
Yeah, I can't remember. I haven't played in a long time, but yeah, probably the... Because I just... Like, Magikarp is my favorite Pokemon. I have such a thing for fucking stupid fish in video games.
Well, and she's so useful in, like, that volcano island.
Yeah, that's
every,
right.
Because every... Like, because she can squirt water.
She squirts water.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
I love Paracari.
Mm-hmm.
I also love, like, the ghost, Bo.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Because he could turn you... Mm-hmm. He or she... She could turn you invisible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's one of the things I love too, is like, I love the sidekick mechanic as opposed to having like a party of five that are just five characters. That
it's each sidekick has a unique ability.
Yeah. And like, and it's cool because like they have an ability that works in the overworld, but then they also like those exact same abilities in a way, like transitioning.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting is a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
To the battles,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Which kind of keeps you from like getting pulled out of one world and into another every time you go into a battle. It mm-hmm. feels very...
it's cohesive, yes.
That's the word. I was like, I know it's a big C word and I can't think of it. But yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like every, like each, it doesn't feel like you're getting pulled out of a world and into another one. You're just getting pulled into a battle, you know? And I love the fact that like there are certain villains like a paratrooper where you have to jump on them to knock them down. Then you can hit them with your hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or the spiked guys... You can't jump on them. You have to hit them from the side, you know? Yeah.
I also love, like, each boss fight in this game has its own unique identity. Like, best example I can think of is Tubba Blubba. It's you get to this, like, kind of Spanish hillside, and it's a town full of ghosts, and there's these, like, rumors about this monster that eats ghosts. And there's never been, like, for my money, I can't think of another Mario game that does story as well as this one.
No.
Because you show up and you're like, oh, well, I guess we've got to go investigate this monster that's eating ghosts.
Right.
And then you get, like, you wake the thing up and it chases you through its castle and you find yourself in the bottom of a well and you have to fight its heart and you realize that, like, oh, its weak spot was its heart all along.
Yeah.
And you beat the boss. Just the way you say
it sounds like a Christmas movie or something. It is. But you're right. But you're right, though.
You beat the boss, and it turns out he's a massive baby, just a huge coward.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It's absolutely like, I mean, Mario's my favorite franchise of all time. You know what I mean? Like, particularly the platformers. But they are not exactly renowned for their storytelling.
No.
They're about save a princess, run from left to right.
Exactly.
This
There's a
game,
star up there. Find a way to get it.
Right. This game, like, this could have been a movie. You know what I mean? Like the storytelling in it is so good. The writing is so good.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
The characters are so memorable. Bowser is awesome in this. I love how you keep cutting to Peach. Oh, yeah, so that's the thing, too, is it's like a book, right?
Yeah.
And you finish a chapter, and then at the end of each chapter, it goes to Peach, who's in Bowser's castle.
With, like, the little tink. Wait, what was it? Twink.
Yeah, the little sun thing. Yeah. Yeah.
The little, little star, the junior star that's in training.
It. Yeah, yeah. And she would, like, you'd have to do these, like, little things where she would kind of figure out where to go next or what to do. And you had to do things like reading Bowser's diary.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And just, like you realize that also, like, Bowser's just a big... friggin' baby as well.
He is, yeah, yeah. I don't mean to keep going back to it, but like, so my favorite thing about Super Paper or about
Mario RPG,
but Mario RPG is like Bowser's my favorite character, and he mm-hmm. became my favorite character from that game because I love the way he looked in that game. He was a tank,
and he could be a party member,
and yeah, you got to play as him, and I thought he was hilarious, like because he would like there are aspects where he would be like crying. Mm-hmm. And then he would turn around and see like Mario and them and just be like, and like pretend that he's like fine and tough, mm-hmm. you know? And that began like this character of Bowser, which this game carries on perfectly. Where, yeah, at the end of the day, you see that like he's just a big baby. You know what I mean? Like he's not this big, mean, has nothing to say villain. He's just a big crybaby at the end of the day. I love it. Like the series does Bowser so much justice.
And I like how you did like. Most Mario games, Bowser kidnaps Peach, and that's the last we see of her until the end.
Right.
Like, even Mario Odyssey, which I think is an amazing game, it's very much just that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Bowser kidnaps Peach, you see her maybe, like, once in the middle, and then right at the end.
Yeah, that's right. They're not even boring to play. Like, I thought they might be kind of boring to play as Peach, you know, those little mm-hmm. things. But the writing is so good that they make them entertaining enough. That,
yeah,
like,
and, like, you have to do that thing where you, like... There you find that like shy guy in the kitchen and you have to bake him a cake.
Yeah.
And you have to do it exactly and you have to like time the that, like
yeah, like 30 seconds or something, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Without a timer, yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, I guess that was the days before iPhones when everybody had a little stopwatch in their pocket mm-hmm. and everything like that. But yeah, it was just there's no downtime in this game. Like it's always entertaining, you know, just running around. The world's so colorful. I can't think of a game before this. And maybe I'm wrong, but I can't think of a game before this where they did such a great job of making it come like building this unique world. Like it'd be like a world built of Lego or something like that. Like this is everything's built of paper, and it's so obvious that everything is built of paper and the way that things fall over and like buildings unfold and things like that. You know what I mean? Like it may seem commonplace now with like all the different Lego games and you know, there's like that Yoshi game coming up and like Woolly World and all these things. But this was one of the first ones where they really went out of their way to have a unique art design to it, you know?
Like they crafted, like they made a world made of paper and they didn't shy away from being like, this is a world made of paper. In fact, we're going to call it Paper Mario.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wonder why they did that. Like, I wonder why they came up with, like, I wonder why they didn't just make it another Mario game, like where they were like, let's just make it completely out of paper.
The original idea was they were going to make it like a new Mario RPG game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were developing that, and they didn't know how to get it, like, because I think it was it Capcom that did the original Mario RPG? Square Enix, yeah. So they, like, had, like, problems with the licensing there.
Yeah.
So they had to call it something new. And one of the designers that was working on this game, just, like, in his free time, made this, like, paper diorama thing with Mario.
Huh.
And, like, Luigi and Yoshi, and they're like, oh, this aesthetic, we want to do that.
We'll
make
wow.
the whole game that.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the way that, the novelty of it never goes away to me, that every time you turn him around, like, he's completely paper thin. Like, he really is just made of paper, you mm-hmm. know? And I can't remember if they did it in this one. I remember in Thousand Year Door, you could do things like turn him into a paper airplane.
Yeah, they
and
didn't
things.
Do it for so much in the first one, but in the second one, yeah, they really played on the paper aesthetic.
I love it, man. I love that design choice. I just think it looks beautiful. It's clever.
The thing I loved a lot about this game is, well, the music. I think that the music is, like, that's one of the most underrated.
It's very charming.
It's a very, no, it's incredible. And it pulls you in, and just makes you feel like, it's just one of those games you're playing, and you just feel happy when you're playing it.
Yeah, yeah. It just has that it's got that Nintendo mm-hmm. polish. I know I'm an unbiased Nintendo fanboy, but it has that polish to it.
But it also has, like, it has a challenge level to it. Like, you have to,
yeah.
You absolutely have to make sure that your character is balanced throughout. You can't just, like, every time you level up, you have an option of getting, like, hearts or firepower or more badge power.
Right.
Which is another thing I love about the game, the whole badge system.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, equip different badges and they do different things for you. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, the badge thing is, that's another thing that kind of seems commonplace now,
mm-hmm.
where you, like, as you acquire these like different badges require so many like notches or like mm-hmm. in this case badge points or whatever. And you acquire them throughout and you have to come up with different combinations and stuff. But like that was pretty new. Man, yeah. When that game came out, I guess it's like a very basic version of like Materia, maybe mm-hmm. from like Final Fantasy VII, where you have so many slots and you can play with different combinations.
Yeah, it was very, it's very similar to that from Final Fantasy VII.
But it gave it another reason to explore too, because you're always like, man, finding some of those badges was badass.
Well, and finding some of those badges and then realizing you don't have enough badge power for them,
right.
And you had to wait until the next time you had badge power, it gave you a reason to play. Like, everything about this game gives you a reason to continue playing it. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten bored in the middle of this game and stopped playing, not even once.
No, and that, dude, that's one of the notes I made on this game is, like, I admittedly, as much as I love RPGs and, like, JRPGs...
there are definitely games that I'll go back and play, and I'll be like Final Fantasy III, I love that game, mm-hmm. but there are times that I've been playing it where I'm like, I know what happens after this.
You get bored of it. You mm-hmm. tap out, you know? And, like, and exploring, like, and that's one of the biggest notes I wrote, all capital letters, no random encounters.
Yeah,
is a fucking godsend.
I can't believe that's still not the standard for every RPG.
Right? Like, that ruins some game. Like Final Fantasy 2 and 3 or 4, 6, whatever. Or I love both of those games. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, I hit a point where I stop exploring so much because I'm like, I don't want to run into more. I don't want to go back to areas and run into fucking...
Well, you
easy
run into like
an
enemy on average like every 10 steps or so.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, I'm not going to go there then.
Right. And
because
almost
it's just hard. Like, it's just tedious to get through.
It is. And that's what it is like, especially when you know there's no chance of dying, mm-hmm. but you can't get enough experience points out of them to really make it worthwhile.
So it's just you hitting run over and over.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
And like, even with, and as much as I love the series, even Pokemon did it.
Sure.
And they did it. They moved away with it with their,
with Eevee and Pikachu.
Eevee and Pikachu remakes, yeah.
I you know, when I talk about the Super Nintendo, like Earthbound, Super Mario RPG, mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger, and I had some critical opinions on that game, but I love the no random encounters, and I feel the exact same way about this game. Like, I can see a villain coming, and if I don't want to fight him, either because I'm scared of him or because he's not worth my time anymore, mm-hmm. it's very easy to just, most of the time, it's pretty easy to just avoid them, you know? Because another thing that this game does is it scales the experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, if you can't go back and just grind that first level.
Yeah.
Over and over again until you've maxed your character out.
Right. Because it hits a point where you don't get any experience.
Yeah.
Right. Which I that's perfect. Like, you're right. Like, and this game is I haven't looked up the date yet. I won't look it up till I actually go to post this. But this game has to be 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's has to be. And like, how the fuck is that not just the way every RPG works in today's society? You know?
Yeah, like there are still RPGs that will give you random encounters, and there's still like even Octopath Traveler.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Which we both had a lot of fun with, still doing the random encounter thing.
And it hits a point where I'll turn it off after a while because I'm just like, I'm just trying to get from A to B, and I don't feel like fighting these guys that I can.
And you don't feel like exploring, and that's such a huge part,
right,
of gameplay.
And that's where, yeah, games like this game, like I mean, I could sink another 15 or 20 hours into this game. Just like, not only are you exploring, and you don't have to worry about random encounters, you're looking for badges and things like that. But like, it's everything you find is funny or entertaining. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? There's no, it's never monotonous. It's always something entertaining that you can find, you know?
And because of like, it shows you how much you have to go until your next level up.
Yeah.
It shows you like it's every 100 star bits.
Yeah.
So, and because of those badges that you always want to equip, because you always want more health, because you always want more firepower,
mm-hmm.
you always want to get in those fights.
Right.
There's never been a moat like, it rarely happens in Paper Mario where you get into a fight and you're like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, between the like I say, no random encounters, all the grind, all that kind of stuff. And then you throw in, like we had already talked about, like the different combat mechanics and how they switch it up. It's not just a matter of like A for attack, A for attack, mm-hmm. A for attack. And then all your different sidekicks and like and playing with their abilities and how their abilities affect different bad guys and things like that, you know?
And the star power thing was cool.
Oh yeah, because you could summon the stars once you save them.
Once
you summon
them, then they do certain things for you.
That's
like
right.
They heal you, or they give you more firepower. Or there was that one. I think it was the second guy who like will just rain stars on every enemy, and it does like seven damage to everybody.
Yeah, that's perfect. I forgot about those guys. And the way you just said that, how they do like seven. I love that it's not like thousands and hundreds of thousands of hit points. Yeah. It's like you do like a huge amount of damage is like 12.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, and it doesn't, and like, and I think that to someone that had never played this game, you would look at that and be like, this is like RPGs for babies. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know what I mean? Like it's just
like if you look at like most RPGs, like the numbers are arbitrary.
Totally.
They could easily have been like, if you have like a boss that has like 2,000 hit points, you could easily make that one with 200.
Yeah.
And have your damage do like 1/10 the amount.
Yeah. And it's a curious decision to me. And I wonder why more, like, I wonder why they did that and why mm-hmm. more don't. I guess maybe it was just for the simplicity's sake of it, because it does, like, it is simple, but it, like, the game is not simple. It just, there's no reason to add all these extra zeros and stuff on mm-hmm. there for absolutely no reason. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess maybe the theory is like, it's super satisfying to do like 1,000 damage to something.
I guess so. Cause
even
that
if
is,
it's like $100,000 damage to kill it.
Yeah. Cause I guess that's true. It is. But like, but the thing is you play this for a little while and then you do like 7 or 8 damage and you're like, oh yeah, I just did 8 damage, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like, I do feel like that's better.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. More games should do that. More games should take hints from this game and make your combat fun and get rid of random encounters and just use low numbers that are just easy to keep track of. Just do all of those fucking things. Dude, when people talk about the greatest RPGs of all time, I can't imagine, at least 99% of people don't bring up Paper Mario.
I feel like they should, because
they really should.
It is one of the best RPGs ever made.
I keep bringing it up, but I felt the same way about Mario RPG. They found a way to take Mario and that charming world and the almost like at times the combat almost feels, I know it's not platforming. Mm-hmm. But it has those platforming aspects. Like I said, jumping on a guy that's flying and now you can hit him with your hammer while he's on the ground.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
or
just
like
simple puzzle solving like that.
Right. Or like Koopa Troopa. I can't remember all the sidekicks' names. It's been so long since I played it. But like you can kick the Koopa Troopa, right? And then any bad guy that's on the floor gets hit like a line.
Yeah.
But if they're flying, then he'll miss them.
Yeah. Which you know? Is why I really like Paracarry, because he can knock out, like he can hit anything on the screen.
Right. And so like, and I know that happens in like other games, like in Final Fantasy, you can float and stuff like that, but not to the level that it does in this game. Like that's just classic Mario, you know, like you said, when you go into the volcano, guys spit fire at you, but you could spray them with water from sushi. Yeah. And now they don't have their fire anymore. Like that's just got that. Mm-hmm. That's that Mario and that Nintendo charm.
And
put it to a
each one of your sidekick characters, it has its own like unique, except for Goomba, he can fuck himself. But,
yeah, he's useless.
But I can't even remember the first character, the first sidekick's name. Goombario, I think.
He's the one that can tell you things about the villains,
Right? And it's like at the middle of the game, you're like, you're useless to me.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan.
Yeah. And that's that's another thing I love is I love that all the sidekicks are all villains. Like, they're not in this game, but they're all bad guy characters. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, because they could have, and I mean, maybe some people would argue that they should have, I guess, but like, they could have made the sidekicks like Luigi and mm-hmm. Toads and Yoshi, and you know what I mean? Like Mario's actual mm-hmm. allies. But instead, you can recruit like Goombas and Koopa Troopas and Ba-bombs and things like that, and they're your helpers. You know, I think
that's
really
cool. I've never thought of that.
I think that's really neat. You know,
and like you've got like a Watt character that is like that. It's like those electrical things that would fly around
from Super Mario World that would hug edges. Yeah, yeah. That's a really cool little touch too. You know, that's just one more thing where they could have done the easy thing and instead mm-hmm. they changed it up, you know.
They changed it up, and again, they made it feel like a real world that you live in, because it's now like you almost add like a whole like racial element to it where suddenly like it's like, oh no, not all Goombas are bad.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, it totally does.
And suddenly
yeah.
like Mario's not just this big Goomba racist that's going on. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna stomp on the first Goomba I see.
And then the next time you go to play, it makes you wonder, like, I don't want to jump on these guys. That might have been maybe that might
that
be one
been
of my buddies.
Goombario.
It's almost Metroidvania. Like, I know that this term is completely overused today. Metroidvania.
Yeah.
But it has hints of it to it. You
like,
know,
there's
like,
certain areas you can't go until you unlock certain abilities.
Right, yeah. And that's one of the things I really adore about these games is, like, by the end of the game, like, when you're ready to go finish the game, it's like, I just want to explore. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, now I can get anywhere. You know, because I hate when you find something and you're like, fuck, I can see, like, there's cracks in the wall right there. Mm-hmm. Like, clear as day, there's a way to fucking get through those, but I don't know what it is yet. And
yeah,
then you unlock
And then you unlock it, and you're like, oh, right, that thing from earlier.
Right, and I adore that about any type of these games, not just these games, any kind of Metroidvania, whatever you want to call them. I love going back and just being like, all right, now I got to clean all these areas up. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's something very satisfying about that to me, and it's been done a million times, but I never get sick of it. And for the fact that not only is it done in this game, but it's done in a way where you're not unlocking Mario powers, you're unlocking sidekicks that can also use those powers to battle in different ways. And you never know how a guy's attack is going to affect an enemy and stuff like that.
And each one of those sidekicks has its own unique story.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only are you like being like, yeah, I got that thing. You're like, oh, now I have this character who's part of the story.
Yeah. Man, what a fucking... It's so funny, when I was doing my homework and just looking at it, I'm like, at a glance, if you never played this game, it looks
what a
so,
weird game.
Yeah, it looks weird, and it looks like one of, it's not even necessarily a knock, but one of the things with Nintendo now is like, some of their games are so easy, like the Yoshi game that's about to come out, Yoshi's Crafted World.
It's going
to
be easy.
It looks so easy.
It's going to be fun, but it's going to be easy.
Sure, and Kirby games are almost frustratingly
easy. And it didn't
always
used to be like that.
No,
like
it didn't.
Those, like the original Kirby games for the NES, I remember those were pretty tough.
I'm replaying that right now on my Switch.
Oh, really?
The original Kirby's Adventure. And yeah, it's got some bite to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that some people would look at this game, if you've never played it, and think that that's what this is. You're like, oh, so his stats are at the top of the screen and his hit points are out of 20. Mm-hmm. And then he has like 10 flower points, and it's like, and that's all the stat, you know, and then you have coins and then your star bits or whatever to level mm-hmm. up, but that's it. And you're looking at it, and you're like, so the sidekick doesn't even have his own like hit points and flower points.
No,
and
but
stuff
you can
like
upgrade the sidekicks, which I thought was cool.
Right. Like, it's much deeper than it appears at a glance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someone could watch a battle and be like, you're doing 5 damage, your hits are 20, and you've got like 3 moves. Mm-hmm. And it might seem so simple and basic. There's so much to it. It just, and I don't know how Nintendo manages to do all that and still keep it looking like something that anyone could just pick up and play.
I also feel like they did the final boss extremely right.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't remember. I mean, I assume it's Bowser, but I don't remember
it. It's Bowser, and you have to fight him. He has the star rod that makes him invincible.
Right.
You have like the 7 stars that will make him uninvincible.
Right.
And basically, you have to fight him while he's in this superpowered state. And every time he uses the star rod on him, you have to use a new move that like negates it.
Oh,
and
cool.
And then while that's happening, there's like a side fight between Peach and like the witch.
Oh, rad. I don't remember this.
And, like, you have to fight with Tink because, like, the whole idea, or Twink, and the whole idea is, like, well, you're fighting Bowser, and he's, like, invincible, and he got this star rod. Off to the other side, there's this, like, little star character that you've been following throughout the whole game, and he's kind of, like, he's getting more powerful as this fight keeps going. So he, like, as soon as they beat the, like, Peach and this Twink character beat the witch, Twink then helps you fight Bowser because he's just that little extra that you needed to push you over the top.
That's so rad. You know, I just finished playing Final Fantasy VI like a month ago. And as fun as it is, you get to the end and it's like you have 12 guys, you have your whole team, mm-hmm. you put them into parties and you just keep hammering away at this really strong guy until he dies.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, and I'm not shitting on Final Fantasy VI. It's a great game.
It's a great game.
But
yes.
That's all, you know what I mean? But it's the same as most RPGs. The final boss just has a billion hit points and you just pound away until he dies. To add all that stuff in,
like there's,
that's so rad.
There's so much story element to the end of this game.
And then maybe this was Thousand Year Door. Is this the one where you're like fighting in front of an audience too? Like a play?
No, that was Thousand Year Door. That was okay. The thing they added for Thousand Year
Door. I love that mechanic too, where you could get like the applause and stuff mm-hmm. like that to get more points. All right, I didn't mean to derail.
Oh, no, not at all. We do need to come back and talk to that about that game.
Eventually. Oh, God. I want to play these two games so bad. This is honestly like Paper Mario is in the probably the five top reasons I do want a Nintendo 64 classic. Because if they do release one someday, mm-hmm. this game no doubt is on it.
It has to be.
It's a no-brainer, right? It's Nintendo owns it. I don't think other than the virtual console, this game has never been re-released anywhere. It's not available on anything.
I mean, like on the Wii U, you can get it on like the virtual console and like,
You know, but like a lot of those, Mario 64 was remade for the 3DS or the DS or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask were remade. Like not most, but Perfect Dark is available on the Xbox. Like so many of those big Nintendo 64 games are available at least somewhere else.
I kind of think it's a little tragic though that Thousand Year Door was never released anywhere outside the GameCube.
Me too.
I think that one of the things I would love to see is maybe like a Paper Mario trilogy on the Switch.
Yeah, give it like Paper Mario, like one, two, Thousand Year Door, and Super Paper Mario. Yeah, totally.
Like something like that. I would be like, if they were like, $80.
Yeah,
Paper Mario trilogy. I'd be like, oh yeah, that's worth it. Like I probably am never gonna play that third one again.
Yeah, no,
because it was weird. It was fun, but it was really weird and offset. Like
I found it boring at times.
A little bit.
Compared
to the
other
two. There
was
a part where you have to like spend 30 minutes on like a treadmill or something,
mm-hmm.
which was like, oh, that was not fun. But like if they released like a Paper Mario trilogy, I'd be like, for like $80, I'd be like, that's $40 a game for me.
Totally. Yeah.
That's no question.
Not to go on a side tangent, but like to me, the GameCube is like probably my three favorite consoles of all time.
Oh, easy. Like, yeah, it's
it's the Super Nintendo, the Switch, the Xbox 360, and the GameCube. Maybe three of those four are my favorite systems ever.
Because it was the last, like, because it was like right before the Wii, which I didn't. Everybody loved the Wii. I didn't love the Wii.
No, the Wii, outside of the, I don't care what anyone on here says, and I'll stand by this. Outside of Virtual Boy, the Wii is the worst home console Nintendo made. I'll stand by that. I just don't enjoy it.
I wouldn't argue too hard against that. Just like I feel like there were some great games on it. It had those Galaxy games.
Those two Galaxy games are. I would pay $100 to have those two Galaxy games on my Switch. $100.
And also, the thing that the Wii did do very right at the time was it was the first Nintendo console that let you buy like Nintendo. And
yeah,
Super
the
Nintendo
virtual
games.
Console was rad, but the Wii is not a great system. The GameCube was. The GameCube was phenomenal. And when I think back to the GameCube. Outside of the incredible array of sports games on it, and I don't mean real sports games, I mean Mario Tennis, Mario Strikers, Mario Golf, like all those types of games. Outside of those, I think of Resident Evil 4, and I think of Thousand Year Door. And Thousand Year Door.
I think of Wind Waker as well, for sure.
And Wind Waker, sure. But even Wind Waker has become available again, mm-hmm. you know? And when I think of Thousand Year Door, like Thousand Year Door is I cannot express how much I love that game.
It's the Majora's Mask of the series.
Sure.
Because they took, like, they got the, like, Bowser kidnaps the princess stuff out of the way, so they told a weirder story.
A weird story, sure. But it was playing that game and loving it so much that, like, as soon as Paper Mario popped up on the Wii Virtual Console, I was like, oh, fuck, I gotta see where this started.
You have to play the original.
And I played through and was like, this is as good as Thousand Year Door. Like, they're both. And I really like some of the Mario and Luigi games on the Game Boy Advance and the 3DS. And I love, like I said, Mario RPG. But these two Paper Mario games are just perfect. Like, they did so many unique, weird things, but they did them all. Like, there's not one aspect of this game I don't enjoy. Not one thing.
No, it has, like, a weird, like, it at times has, like, a dark sense of humor. It tells a great story. It has an amazing, like, combat system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's everything about it. I love it. You still have your Nintendo 64.
I do, yeah.
And you still have this game with it.
I don't have this game with it anymore.
So, no. Oh, how are you playing it?
I played it on the Wii Virtual Console.
Oh.
And now, like, I've been craving this game for a while, yeah. But I also, like, I just moved, so
right.
My Wii is still in a box, and I'm like, well, I've got to unpack that box, and then I would have to, and it wouldn't even take me that long to do. I'm just so lazy that I'm just like, no, I want them to release it on the Switch now.
I get it.
Just so I can take a bus to
Me too, man. I've been very tempted to order like a Nintendo 64 USB controller and just ROM and just get a couple of them. This is one of those ones that I look at it and I'm like, I don't want to play it so bad.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it's like, and you know what? I'm not sitting here justifying playing ROMs and all that good stuff. But like, how about Nintendo? If you give us a way to play your incredible backlog of games or back catalog of games, we wouldn't have to go to ROMs. Just, you've got the single most iconic back catalog of video games in the history of the industry.
And they're releasing it on such a trickle. Like, hey, we've got some NES games on the online. And they're like, that'd be great 2 years ago.
Right? Like, it's just, you know what's funny, man? And like, we'll shut up. We'll score this thing and get out of here in a second. Do you remember when the Virtual Console first came out on the Wii? Everyone was like, what a cool idea.
Yeah.
And then every week Nintendo would announce like two or three or four more games. And people were like, come on, this is bullshit. And now we have Nintendo Online with the Switch where we've got about 30 NES games. And that's it out of that entire incredible back. And we're like, fuck what I wouldn't give to have the Virtual Console back. Like, it just frustrates me to no end.
Like, I know that they have to be planning something. There has to be a reason that they didn't do Virtual Console, but we're 2 years into the Switch's life, and I'm like, I want to see what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the core concept of for my online, because you pay. In Canada here, I think it's $25 a year you pay. I think it's $25 or $30
yeah,
a year
it's online.
It's
really cheap.
And for that, you know, I do have all the NES games. Not all of them, but I have all these NES games. It's up to like 30 or something now that I can just play on my Switch anywhere I want. Mm-hmm. And I can play them online, and I have save states. And I'm like, that's rad. But like, and $30 is very cheap for online compared to Xbox and Sony.
Well, and the cool thing is like, you can play, like my brother and I played through Mario 3 together, and he lives in Calgary.
It's great. But like, how about Nintendo? I guarantee you most people would feel the same way. I would be willing to pay the $60 or $70 that you have to pay for Xbox Gold or PS Plus for Nintendo Online. If you just somehow figure out fucking voice chat. And I don't even use voice chat, but how the fuck have you not had voice chat?
I don't care about voice chat.
I just don't get how you don't have it. And just give us Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 games. Just, like, they're right there. Mm-hmm. You can just make money off them. Just make more money off of them. GameCube games, I'm happy to pay for. Release GameCube games at $20 a pop again. And I will pay for tons of them.
Oh, dude, I can think of it. Like, yeah, just there's so many games that I would pay $20 for. Like, Thousand Year Door, I would like...
Right?
They're like, yeah, $20 for that. I'd be like, oh, well, that's... I don't care how broke I am. I have $20 for Thousand Year Door.
You know what frustrates me the most about this conversation is that here's two nerds sitting in a spare bedroom telling Nintendo, this is why you don't, like, you guys are fucking up. This is why. Meanwhile, they have the hottest selling console on the market and they're worth billions of dollars. But they could be worth more billions.
And we're both two comedians worth, I don't know,
a combined
$40 a piece.
$50, yeah. But, like, I just don't get it. That's all. So I'm not sitting here saying play ROMs. I'm just saying if there's no other. I'll tell you, okay, we'll score this, we'll go. I know I already said this once. I'm big on, like, I don't illegally download movies. I don't, yeah. I very quickly got out of illegally downloading music. I don't think I'm better than other people that do it. I'm just, I am a big believer in, like, hey, if you put in the work and you create a product, I'm happy to pay you in exchange for your product. I do feel that way.
And but that said, that I kind of do like the model of, like, the Apple Music or
me too. Or but even that, you're not stealing anything. They're still getting their royalties and stuff, right? That's fine as long as there's a legal service.
I feel like performers make most of their money off of live performances.
Totally. Yeah. The point is just that, like, when it comes to video games, in a way, a ROM is no different than downloading a movie illegally, or, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, having said that, if there's no way for me to buy a game from a company, then I have no problem with downloading the ROM and playing. I have none. Yeah. Because if there is a way for me to buy it from you and give you money to play your game, I totally will.
But where is Thousand Year Door? How
exactly.
do I buy that?
Exactly.
It's not for sale anywhere.
Exactly. And you could say, like, well, you could go out, buy a GameCube and buy a pre-played version of it. And you totally can, but Nintendo gets nothing out of that.
Yeah.
Nintendo gets nothing out of that. Nothing.
And you have to go find, like,
if anything, you're gonna, I have to fucking pay some shitty reseller at a fucking swap meet for it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That went off the rails, but Paper Mario's a great game.
Feels good. Paper Mario's a masterpiece. What would you give Paper Mario out of 10, Mark, today?
9.8.
I was gonna be like 9.8, 9.9. The only reason it doesn't get a 10 from me is because I won't give anything else a 10. But it is a 10. It loses 0.1 for not being Super Mario World. That's its only knock.
It loses 0.1 for not being available to buy anywhere.
It's a absolute masterpiece. What a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Good stuff, buddy. Good job. Yeah. That was good.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Mark, thank you so much for coming over. And you guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening and subscribing and sharing and all that good stuff that you do. I really appreciate it. That's going to be it. I know I'm kind of wrapping this thing up really fast, but I have to go out and do a bunch of stuff like I mentioned in the intro, if you remember that far ago. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. Our download numbers are staying up there. I can't thank you all enough. And that's it. Go play some video games. Enjoy the nice weather. It's finally getting warm outside. And I will be back in 7 days with another episode of Remember the Game. Thank you guys so much. Take it easy. Cheers.